If you have your Bible, go ahead and get it out, and we'll go to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And we're going to sing, or it's not, sorry, we're not going to sing. We're going to hear from the Word of God a little bit this morning on just some of the light that God has for us in a dark time. You know, the world is full of darkness. You know, America is getting darker and darker. For people say, I'm just in a dark place right now. You know, we've heard those statements of dark times and dark places. We've heard those indictments on the world and on America, whether it's been, you know, the darkness of sin or whether it's a darkness of depression, whether it's the darkness of just the wickedness that we see with our eyes or whether it's just the difficult trials that we go through. We have all heard and made statements regarding dark days and dark times. You think there's the darkness of turmoil and suffering. The darkness of division, the darkness of depression. You know, spiritual darkness and emotional darkness is a very real thing. And really, it's an interesting metaphor. You know, we think of literal darkness. You know, it has a profound impact on our bodies and our minds. There's been numerous studies really done on people who have been put in a dark place, whether it's underground or whether it's in different circumstances, where they've been under prolonged seasons of darkness. And those studies have shown us numerous different things. And it shows us that it brings many physical and psychological struggles, including poor concentration, oversleeping, feelings of worthlessness, and weight gain. You know, we have internal clocks. Our internal clock tells us when we hear, you know, the birds chirping outside, when we see the sun creeping up in the window, it tells us, you know, it's time to get up. Our mind and our body is, you know, start getting up, getting geared up for the day. And when the sun goes down and when we start to turn the lights off in the house, well, our mind and our body, it tells us, you know, it's time to wind down. But for people in prolonged seasons of darkness, it really messes with them mentally. You know, it's been found that people, I think they did it for a month. They were underground and their body told them, you know, to stay awake for about 36 hours at a time and they would sleep for 12 hours at a time. You know, the darkness messes with you mentally. It messes with you physically. A study in 2015 of some in the Arctic Circle where their daylight was deprived showed that those workers were more prone to depression. Another study in 2013 study found that the dark environments made people more likely to behave unethically and to lie. People who have spent large amounts of time in darkness have been known to have hallucinations and to struggle with mental health. You see, prolonged seasons of physical, literal darkness, it causes these different struggles. It causes mental struggle. It causes emotional battles. Darkness always makes a difference, but it is quickly displaced by the light. You see, darkness is in and of itself not a physical, tangible thing. It's rather the absence of something else, which is light. It's like if you go out and you dig a hole with your shovel, that hole is not a physical thing. It's the absence of dirt. You know what? Darkness is not in and of itself a physical thing, but it is the absence of light. But this morning, we're not talking about physical darkness. We're talking about spiritual darkness. In turn, spiritual darkness is not a physical thing, but it is the absence of spiritual light, which is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the light. And what we're seeing and experiencing in this world today and what we would consider as dark times and dark days is not a physical thing, but rather it is the absence of Jesus Christ. You see, the anger, the sin, the immorality, the wickedness, the darkness that we see today, the godliness of society, what we would consider as dark times or awful times is in reality the effects of what happens when Jesus is not present. But it's amazing what light will do to darkness. You know, it's a simple solution. If you're in a dark room, what do? We turn a light on. You know, if we're out in the woods and we're camping and it's real dark and we get our flashlight out or we light a fire and quickly the light enables us to see what we need to see. Quickly the light, it gets rid of the fears or the uncertainty that darkness brings. Quickly the light overcomes the darkness. You see, where light reigns, darkness runs. Where the light shines, darkness hides. In the world and in our lives today, Jesus declares that He is the light. And as the light, darkness and the wickedness of this world and just the depression that goes on in society today, they are quickly overcome by Jesus Christ as He is the light of life. You're in John chapter number 8, and if you'll look with me, we'll read verse number 12 to get started. The Word of God says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Darkness. We look around at the world today. We look at society today, and we feel the darkness of sin. We feel the darkness of discouragement. We feel the darkness that people find when they're just lost in life and they feel like there's no purpose. But Jesus Christ brings light. Jesus Christ brings the light of life. Jesus Christ brings the light of salvation. Jesus Christ brings the light of purpose and of joy and of peace. Jesus Christ declares in this passage that He is the light of life. And as the light, He overcomes the darkness. It may seem today to you like darkness is winning. It may seem like the dark times just won't let up or they just won't go away. It may seem like the darkness is overcoming and is pushing against the light. And today you may say spiritually or emotionally you are in a dark place. No doubt we would point to the world today and we would point to society today and we would say that no, the world is in a dark time. It's in dark days. So what is the answer? So what do we do? Do we just cower against the darkness? Do we live in constant fear and worry about what is going to happen? No, rather we shine the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. The one thing I want you to come away with this morning is that we must overcome the darkness with Jesus, the light. Let's pray and then we'll get into the rest of the message. Dear Father God, we love You. Lord, we thank You that You are the light. Lord, it's amazing just to see how many are discouraged. Lord, how many are depressed. Lord, we look at the world around us and Lord, we see the darkness. We see the difficulty. God, we see the effects of a godless society. And Lord, we're stirred up to do something about it. God, we're stirred up to see some change, Lord. Our hearts break at the things that go on in this world, Lord, and we're asking for You to make the difference. And God, help us as Christians, Lord, not to get distracted by all of the issues of today. Lord, not to get discouraged or to get down and to get depressed. But Lord, help us to turn to You, God, because You're the light. You're the light of this world. You're the light of our life. You're the light of hope. And God, we're praying and asking that You would shine in this dark and difficult time, God. We love You, and God, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is the light. You know, we look at the darkness of the world, and I've seen many people, whether they've been putting it on Facebook or they've been putting it on Twitter, and they're proposing all these solutions. And they look at the political things going on, and they're proposing new leadership, or they're proposing new laws, they're proposing this, and they're proposing that. I've seen people share different things on social media just about how to get out of depression, how to stop being discouraged, and they give a lot of practical ideas and a lot of practical facts. And you know, those things will help in life. But they're not the answer. Those things, yes, they may give a little bit of encouragement. Sure, some political reform may help in our country here and there. But the answer that will make a difference for eternity and the answer that will last and that will have true change is the light that is Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at three areas where Jesus shines as the light and overcomes the darkness. Number one this morning, Jesus is the light of hope. Look at John chapter number 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came down unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stood down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here we have an interesting story. Here's Jesus Christ, and he's in his earthly ministry. He's traveling around. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's sharing the word of God, and he's giving people, hope. He's giving people the gospel. He's telling people to believe on Jesus Christ. And here he is in a temple, and he's teaching. And here are the scribes and the Pharisees, and they set up this plan. They go and they bring this woman and they catch her in adultery and they bring her to Jesus Christ and they say, God, here is what the law says. And they tell him, what it is that he is supposed to do. They tell him what the natural response was. And as I read this passage and as I studied it this week, I just thought of that woman who was caught in adultery. She had no hope. You see, according to the law, this woman being caught in this sin was supposed to be put to death. It says that they found her in the very act of sin. And the natural response to her sin was what they intended on doing, which was stoning her to death. You see, that if they found someone in a sin that was worthy of death, often they would take that person to the spiritual leaders and they would tell them of her sin, and they would take her out of town and they would cast stones at her, whether it was large rocks. They would push it on top of her in her hole, and they would take stones and they would throw them at her until she was literally dead. And this woman being caught in adultery, this sin that she had committed and being caught, was an indictment on her life. She understood that she would be judged and that this judgment that she would face was death. You see, this act by the Pharisees was no doubt wrong. They took her and they condemned her. We read this story and we think some different question. Where is the man in this? They think, why were they bringing him to Jesus Christ instead of doing what they were supposed to do by the law? And there's a lot of different things that we look at in this story, and we look at the Pharisees and we can see that this was a setup plan. But the law commanded for those men to take both and to stone them both. So why did they take her to Jesus? In their minds, they took her to Jesus to be set up, to bind his hands, where we'd have to put this woman to death. He said, imagine being this woman. Imagine being caught in this sin and you understood that the law commanded for you to be put to death. And here are the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of that day. They take you and they try you and they say, this woman, she's committed sin. We found her, we caught her in the act. And she no doubt lost hope because she knew that she faced judgment. She knew this. In the moment she was caught, in the moment she was taken by the scribes and the Pharisees, she lost all hope. Undoubtedly, as she was being led away, you could think of her hope for a future. We could think of, her joy, her dreams, of her future life plans. They were gone because immediately in that moment, she knew that she was supposed to be stoned. When we look at the world today and we see so many without hope. We look at the sins of the world. We look at the sins of America, whatever it may be, whatever names, things that we may say, the sins that we see. And no, that is an indictment of judgment. No doubt our sin brings and commands judgment. And those are things that are found in the Word of God. And it's not wrong to say that those things demand a certain judgment. Those people that are caught in sin, us, before we accepted Christ as Savior, when we were caught in our sin and we were shown that judgment, we had no hope. And this woman in this story, she had no hope until she met Jesus Christ. You see, when she came to Jesus, and the scribes and the Pharisees were quickly ready to condemn her, to judge her, to stone her, and to end her life, Jesus came. And he spoke and he said, Neither do I condemn thee. You see, in the reality of life and the reality of sin is that our sin demands judgment. We know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We know the verses in Revelation that talk about, eternal fire, that talk about hell, and they talk about condemnation. The reality is that our sin commands judgment. There's no hope in that. There's no joy in that. Us, apart from Jesus Christ, we are living in the darkness of judgment. But when we meet Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ comes to us, instead of Him commanding judgment, He offers forgiveness. And we live in a world that's facing certain judgment. The sins of mankind, the sins of America, the sins of you and of I, they demand justice and judgment. And there will be justice and there will be judgment one day, but what the world needs and what people need is not for us necessarily to constantly tell them how wicked they are. It's not to look at their sin and say, look, there's judgment, and that's kind of it, and to take away all hope. But rather, what those facing judgment need is for us to tell them of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ did not come to take away that person's sin and just to say, okay, you're free. No matter what you've done, you know what, you're fine. You can go away and we're just going to wink at it. And you know what, you sinned. Okay, bye, that's it. Jesus doesn't look at our sin and say, okay, I'll just give you a free pass. No, but rather Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and to offer to us forgiveness of sin. That judgment that takes away hope, that condemnation that takes away all hope of freedom, of eternal life. Jesus Christ came and He took that judgment and that punishment Himself so that He could offer to us hope. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Old Testament law, they brought condemnation and judgment. But Jesus gave this woman hope. Here was Jesus when this woman was expecting to be stoned, freeing her from judgment and choosing not to condemn her. Here is where Jesus shows Himself as the light of hope. You see that Jesus can free us from condemnation. Jesus Christ can free us from judgment. There's no other person, there's no man, there's no writings that can free us from judgment. But Jesus Christ, having died for us, having taken our punishment, has the authority and has the freedom to give us hope in a hopeless situation. Jesus is the light. So many today are in the darkness of no hope. So many today are living in the darkness, facing judgment, saying, I know my sin. I know the ways I've failed God. I know the things that I've done that are not right, and I know that they demand judgment. But Jesus Christ brings hope. But Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. Jesus Christ offers freedom from condemnation when He died on the cross for our sins. Let me tell you, yes, there is judgment for your disobedience against God. Yes, there is judgment. There is condemnation for the wickedness of our country and for the wickedness of mankind. Yes, there is impending judgment. But Jesus Christ comes as the light to offer us freedom from condemnation. You see, we read these first few verses and we see a lady with no hope. We see a lady facing certain judgment, a death sentence. And I can't help but think of myself before I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was facing impending judgment of eternal separation from God in a place called hell. But when I knew and I heard and I understood that Jesus Christ took my judgment, He took my punishment by dying on the cross for my sins, and He offered me forgiveness in the moment that I accepted Christ as my Savior, in the moment that I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone, I received freedom from judgment. I received freedom from the condemnation of hell. I received hope in a hopeless situation. Facing a hopeless judgment, Jesus Christ is the light of hope. And so often we look at the sins of others in the world and we look at the sins of our society and we say, there's no hope. Gone too far. We say there's no hope for people to get right. There's no hope. You know, America is facing judgment. The world is facing judgment. This crowd is facing judgment and this crowd is facing judgment. And we point out and we say judgment is coming and judgment is coming. And yes, that is true. But how about instead of focusing on the judgment, we focus on Jesus Christ who can offer freedom from the condemnation. Yes, there is judgment. There is a punishment for our sins. But there is a Savior who took our sin on the cross and who offers us hope. First of all, this morning, Jesus is the light of hope. When all hope is gone because of our judgment against our sin, Jesus comes to offer forgiveness. not only is Jesus the light of hope, but Jesus is the light of salvation. Look at verse number 23 in John chapter number 8. Jesus now talking to the Jews that were gathered at the temple. He said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Not only does Jesus Christ bring hope, specifically the hope of freedom from judgment, but Jesus Christ brings salvation. Those two points really go hand in hand, but in this last few verses that we read, Jesus Christ is now speaking to another group of people. Jesus comes to the temple and he's teaching and he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish people, and they bring this woman in, and then he says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And he frees her from judgment, and he goes back to teaching, and he's talking to the Jews and he's talking to the Pharisees and he's talking to the scribes, and he's telling them how him and how his Father are one, and how Jesus Christ is declaring himself to be God. And as he is teaching, the Jews are contradicting him. The Jews are questioning him. The Jews are coming, and they had not believed on Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And Jesus Christ tells them that if they do not believe, they will die in their sins. You see, it's interesting, the Jewish people, they were so close to understanding salvation. You see, the Jewish people, they had the Old Testament. They had verses that spoke of their sin and that spoke of believing on God. They had verses that prophesied that one day a Messiah would come and he would die on the cross for their sin. They had the Word of God that would tell them how they could accept Christ as their Savior, but they constantly pushed it away, and they constantly pushed it away. And then they were living in a time when the very Son of God came to earth and he was walking among them. And here he is in the temple and he's teaching them and he's telling them and he's declaring who he is. But the Jews refused to listen. The Jews for years refused to believe. And here is a group of Jews, and Jesus Christ is talking to them, and Jesus Christ is revealing himself to them. And he goes to them and he says that if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. See, the Jews were taught by the Pharisees and the scribes that their hope for freedom from judgment, that their hope for freedom from hell was found in obeying the Old Testament law. It was found in doing all the right things. It was found in being all the right people. It was found in doing this and doing that. And the Jews were so, so close to understanding that their sin doesn't save them, that obeying the law and not sinning doesn't save them, but rather Jesus Christ saves them. You see, the Old Testament law was not written so that we could obey it and go to heaven. The Old Testament law wasn't written that if we do all the right things, then we could be in heaven with God. But rather, the Word of God says, I believe in the book of Romans, that the Old Testament law was written as a schoolmaster teaching us and showing us that all of us are guilty. And the Jews in this passage, who were religious, who were in the temple, who were coming to hear the Word of God, were under just as much condemnation as the woman caught in sin. And they understood the Old Testament law. They understood all the things that they were supposed to do, but the law was to show them that they are guilty. And the answer, salvation, the light of salvation, was right there to show them how they could believe on him, and they continually rejected him. They were so close. Yeah, I think of things that I've been so close in. You know, I was thinking the other day, it was somewhere around my 10th birthday, and my parents took me and my sister to Disneyland in California. And we spent all day, we were riding rides, and we were going through the park and seeing all these different things, and we were having a good time. And as it got towards the end of the day, there were two rides that me and my dad wanted to go ride. One was, I think it was Space Mountain, and me and my dad, we were in line and we're getting ready and we're getting real close, and we're probably there for, you know, maybe half an hour or so, maybe even a little bit longer in line, and we're getting closer and closer to the front. I think we're about halfway through, and then I think we're about three quarters of the way through, and we hear Space Mountain is now closed. You know, we're so close to getting on the ride. And it closed down. Okay, well, we'll go to that second ride we wanted to go. I think it was something to do with riding some cars or driving some cars or something like that. And we walk over there and we're in line and we're getting close and we're getting closer. And, you know, we wait and halfway through the line, three quarters of the way through the line. And then, you know, you get to that front place, if you ever mentioned amusement park, where they have that last little bit of section. There's about five people in line. And we're just about to that point where it's like, yeah, we're going to be on the next few times that the ride goes through. We're going to be on. And then they announce this ride has been broken or something like that. It was out of operation for the rest of the night. You know, we were so close to getting on those rides, but it didn't happen. You know, I remember just that last part, you know, we're sitting there. We could literally see where you get on. We could see the last few steps, just a few more minutes, and we were going to be on that ride. You know, we missed out on it. It was a bummer. You know how much worse they're getting close to getting on a ride. Now, how much worse is it to being so close to salvation, but missing out because you don't understand? How sad is it to be so close to be a religious person and say, I go to church and I have my Bible, and to go to church and, you know, maybe you've been baptized and maybe you've understood the Word of God, and to say, you know, I'm a good person and I do this and I do that. How much worse to do all of those things, but to never believe on Jesus Christ? We look at the woman caught in adultery and say, yes, she's in darkness. Her sin and her wickedness and her godlessness, you know what? She is obviously in condemnation. But how many people are in the world today that we would say they're a good person? How many people are there who go to church every single week and they hold their Bible and they try to obey the different things that God tells us to obey? And we say, you know what? They're a good person. You know, they might even call themselves a Christian. But God says, unless you have believed on Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. You know, unless, no matter if we call ourselves a Christian, no matter if we go to church on Sundays, no matter if we've been baptized, unless we believe on Jesus Christ, we will face the judgment and the punishment of our sins. And I believe in this world that there are so many people that they're so close. They have the Word of God. They hear preaching and they understand it. But they have yet to believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're still in darkness. There's so many religious people out there in the world today, but they have not put their faith in Christ alone. You see, the Jews, they understood sin. They understood that it demanded punishment. They tried to obey the Old Testament law, but many of them had not, and some of them would not believe that Jesus was the one who could take away their sin. However, Jesus told them that the day He was lifted up to die on the cross, they would know. And maybe you're listening this morning, and you're somewhat like the Jews. You understand sin and you understand judgment and you understand maybe some of the ins and outs of what we would call religion, but you have never put your faith in Jesus. That's you, my friend. You're in darkness, but you're so close to the light. You can believe on Jesus Christ this morning and have the light of hope and have the light of salvation. When you put your faith in Christ, you are freed from condemnation. There's so many people out there following other religions, but there is no hope in those. There's no hope in a God named Allah who has a list of demands that if you do not follow them, He says you will go to hell. There is no hope in Mary who is dead and in heaven and she doesn't hear your prayers. There is no hope in cults where you have to follow a man's teaching in order to get to heaven. And you never have the certainty of whether or not your sins will be forgiven. And respectfully, you know, these Jews, and in the religion of many Jews today, there is no hope in an outward performing of good works. Rather, there is only hope in Jesus Christ. We think of darkness and we think of just, you know, the worst things in our mind, the worst sins that we can come up with. But there are so many who are living in darkness, who do good works, who put on a tie every week and go to church, who obey, you know, some of the commands of the Word of God, who are in darkness because they have not believed in Jesus Christ alone. See, there's hope for the sinner that's caught in their sins, who knows nothing about God. But there is also hope for the religious one who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You see, both of these people, the woman caught in adultery and the Jews that were standing there, they had the same answer right in front of them. Yes, they were living in darkness, but here was the light. Believe on Jesus Christ and you can be saved. And there are people in this world living in darkness. And the only way they will get to the light is to believe on Jesus Christ. Our sin demands a punishment. And the way to be forgiven, the only way to be free from our sins and from condemnation, is not through obeying a set of rules, is not through getting baptized, is not through going to a certain type of church or calling us a certain name, is not through good works, is not through this or that. The only way to be forgiven is through Jesus Christ and believing on Him. Thankfully, verse number 30 tells us that many of these Jews believed on Jesus Christ. I ask you today, friend, have you believed on Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Maybe you're like the woman caught in adultery and you say, I know my sins. You know, I wouldn't call myself a religious person. I know that I deserve judgment. Well, Jesus Christ offers you forgiveness. Jesus Christ died on the cross and became sin for you so that you can be saved from your sins. All you have to do is believe on Him. Maybe you're like the Jewish people and you're a good person. You're a religious person even. Maybe you read the Bible and you go to church and maybe you've been baptized, but you've never believed on Jesus Christ. Friend, the only thing that will save you is believing on Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way to light and the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of hope. Jesus Christ is the light of salvation. And lastly this morning, Jesus Christ is the light of life. John chapter number 8 and verse number 31. The Bible says, Jesus Christ speaking, said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're listening this morning. You believed on Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. You have the light. But now what are you supposed to do? So often we view Christianity as though we're walking into a building. We're on the outside and maybe we're living in darkness, as we were continue with the metaphor this morning. We're outside and we walk into this room, we walk into this building, we accept Christ as our Savior, and we view it as though we're walking into this building and there we are, we're saved, and that's it. We walk in and like, wow, this is great. I've accepted Christ as Savior. I have hope. I have joy. I have eternal life. Great. That's it. I'm a Christian. But rather, salvation is really, in essence, the opposite. Salvation is like we're in a room full of darkness. It's like we're in a room and there's no way to get out. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, He opens the door. And when we enter out into salvation, when we enter into life as a Christian, we are no longer bound to a room. We're not bound to a place, but instead we are free to follow after and to continue living for Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity is not life in a box. Christianity is not a life of bondage. Following Jesus Christ is not a life with no freedom, but rather living for God and following Jesus is the true life of freedom. This verse is that Jesus Christ mentioned in these verses where it talks about, you know, those walking in darkness, they stumble. Those walking in darkness, you know, they can't see where they're going. But when you accept Christ and you have the light, and when you walk in light and when you walk in truth, which is the Word of God, you have the light to see where you're going. You have the light to see how to live. You have the light to walk in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is not, okay, you accepted Christ and that's it. No, rather, salvation is you're walking in the light that frees you to live and frees you to live for Jesus Christ. See, we are not walking into darkness and bondage as a Christian. No, we are walking into light and into freedom as a Christian. When you got saved, that wasn't the end of the journey. Rather, that was the beginning. Jesus says we are free and He calls us to continue in that freedom. Jesus tells us when we accept Christ as Savior, we are supposed to walk in the light by walking in the light of His Word. These Jews who just received Christ, who just believe on Jesus, He tells them, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Salvation doesn't just stop at knowing Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you know, the Christian life is not just I'm saved and that's it. Too many Christians treat Jesus and Christianity as the end when in reality it is just the beginning. Jesus calls these Jews who have just believed on them. He calls them to continue in His Word and in knowing it and obeying it. And look, it does not matter if you're newly saved or if you've been saved for years and years. Jesus is calling us as Christians to continue in His Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus Christ says, sanctify them by truth. Thy word is truth. As Christians, our responsibility after believing on Jesus Christ and our freedom and our joy is to walk in the light of God's word. To understand it and to know it and to live it out. You know, just looking at some of the trends today and looking at some of the things that I see different young people posting today and posting that celebrities have said. You know, they're saying different things. I think I saw something the past couple of weeks where a celebrity said to be kind. Like that was some just ginormous truth that nobody had heard of before. You know, in a reality, we live in a world that is unkind. I've seen other people and they talk about, you know, stop spreading judgment. Stop hating. Stop doing this and stop doing that. They're saying, you know, I see so many different times posts about being a good person and doing this and doing that and giving to the poor and caring about people and doing this and doing that. When in reality, God's Word said it thousands of years ago. And us as Christians, we are supposed to live it out, to love our neighbor, to love Jesus Christ, to read our Bible, to spend time in prayer, to care for the poor and for the widows and for the motherless. Those are things that God tells us in our Word that we as Christians are supposed to do. But so often we treat Christianity as though I've accepted Christ and that's it. When in reality there is a Word of God that's full of truth, full of wisdom. And think of darkness. How often do we feel like we have a decision to make or a step in life when we're just not sure and we feel like we're walking around in darkness and we're looking for an answer and we're looking for some advice and we're looking for some counsel when God's Word says that He will lead us in the paths of everlasting, when He will show us truth, when as we delight ourselves in God that He will give us the answers to life, that God will make our path straight. God shows us that in life He will lead us and He will guide us. As we follow His Word. Really the key to being a Christian, the key to following Jesus Christ, is continuing in the Word of God. It's following Him each day. You know, I'm thankful that we've done those devotional books in the church. You know, encouraging all of us to spend 90 days reading through the New Testament. Have you done that this week? Have you spent time with Jesus Christ? Have you spent more time reading and understanding who He was and not just reading it, not just being a hearer of the Word, but obeying it and doing it as well? As Christians, we look at the darkness of this world. We look at the darkness in our own life. We say, what do I do? What's the answer? How do we make a difference? How can I make some change? How can I help some people that are living in darkness? Well, God's Word gives us the answer. And we make a difference when we read it and when we obey it. See, as Christians, it's not the end to accept Christ as Savior. It's the beginning to be Christ-like on earth. As a Christian, are you daily walking in the light that God has given you? Are you obeying and following God's Word? Are we living as though all we needed was salvation instead of living like we need Jesus Christ every single day. You see, Jesus is the light of life. We say, yeah, Jesus is the light of salvation. Yes, Jesus brings hope. But does Jesus light your life every single day? In the past few years, I've had different opportunities to work in camps and different Christian camps and different youth ministries. And I've talked to some teenagers and some young people that they're just depressed. They're discouraged. Say, I'm a Christian, and you know, I'm just sad all the time, or I got this problem. And one of my first questions is always, do you read the Bible? Do you spend time with God on a daily basis? And most often their answer is no. And we look at a world and we look at a society that we say, wow, it's just awful. The darkness, the things that are being promoted, the things that are being pushed, we would say, wow, that's awful. But it's no secret that they have abandoned God, that we've pushed the Bible out of schools and the Bible out of society. No wonder there's darkness. Okay, but how do we overcome it? By God's Word. By living it out and by proclaiming it to others. And I think one of the things I hate to do, but you know, there's always things that we don't like to do, but we end up doing it all the time, is when I have to get up in the middle of the night, whether to get a drink of water or something, I hate walking in the darkness, but for some reason I never turn on the light. You know, I walk around at home. Just the other day, I was getting up to do something. It was late. I turned all the lights off in the house, and I was walking through the living room, and I stepped on my dog's big 3-foot-thick rope, tripped on it. I twisted my ankle. I was like, man, why didn't I turn a light on? You know, why am I doing that? There's other times where I've walked in a building, maybe here at the church late at night, and I'm trying to look through things. I'm trying to see where I'm going, and maybe I'm feeling my way around. Maybe I step on something at the house or that, and then I realize, you know, why don't I just turn on a light? I have my phone. Why don't I just turn on a flashlight? You know, how often do we walk in darkness, stumbling and tripping over things? How often do we struggle in our Christian life, whether it's just struggling with depression, discouragement, whether it's struggling with sin. And you know what? We have the light of God's Word right here. We have the answer. But we just never spend time with God. There's a simple solution to darkness. Shine a light. But how often do we as Christians instead choose to walk in darkness instead of continuing in God's Word? There's a lot of dark situations out there. Dark times, dark days. You know, maybe you're here and maybe you're listening online and you're like that woman caught in adultery and say, I'm living in darkness. I'm living in sin. I don't have any hope. That's a world that we're living in. We're living in a world without hope. We're living in a world without Jesus Christ. And we look and we say, what's the answer? So often there's people without hope and they're looking for an answer. They're looking for something to fill the emptiness inside, and they're looking for something to give them some hope. Well, the light of hope is Jesus. The light that frees from condemnation. The light that frees from judgment. The light that offers salvation and forgiveness is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like the Jews. Or you know what? You've been a good person. You've read the Bible. You've gone to church, but you're still empty inside. And you say, no, I've tried to do all of these things, and I feel like I'm just missing something. Well, have you believed on Jesus Christ? He's the only one who could take away your sin. It's nothing that you can do. It's only through accepting Christ as your Savior. And maybe today you're a Christian, but you feel like you're just wandering in the dark. There's uncertainty. There's discouragement or depression. There's life circumstances. There's life decisions that you have to make, and you're just not sure what to do. God says, continue in His Word. There's light. There's hope. There's wisdom. There's understanding, and it's found in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Friend, if you're here or if you're listening and you feel like you're in darkness, look to Jesus. Because Jesus is the light. Dark times, dark circumstances. And we're looking, how can I make a difference? How can I make a change? What do I need? What am I looking for? We overcome the darkness through the light that is Jesus Christ alone. In a minute, I'm going to pray and close out the service. And obviously, you know, most of you are listening online. So I want to say, if you have a need, if you're not sure about salvation, If you're living and you say, I don't have any hope, I don't understand, I don't know what I'm going to do with this judgment, with this punishment that I deserve because of my sin, I want to encourage you to reach out to us. You know, write us here at the church, stop by at the church during the week. Send us a Facebook message if you're watching on Facebook Live. Reach out to us. We love nothing more than to show you how Jesus Christ says that you can be free from your sin. Christian, this week, maybe you're just struggling in darkness. I want to encourage you to get in the Word of God. Read it, follow it, and obey it, because Jesus is the light. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are, for all that you do for us, Lord. God, we thank you that you are the light. Lord, darkness brings fear. It brings mystery. It brings discouragement. It brings depression. But God, you bring hope. You bring truth. You bring answers. God, you bring life. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray if there's anybody listening today who's never accepted you as Savior, God, I pray that they would believe on you for the first time and you alone to Lord, for your freedom from their sin so that they can have salvation. God, I pray for the Christian that's just struggling, walking in darkness, whether it's sins that they're struggling with or uncertainty or discouragement. God, I pray that they would get in your Word and find the light and the help that they need. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Pray you bless the rest of the day in Christ's name. Amen.